Hey everybody, sorry for the
radio.
Got it all worked out, so bit behind, and I actually was going to stop or pause the intro music, but I know Brittany, who is with her family this evening, so she will not be joining us, but kick my ass. Chelsea, who is supposed to be with us, is having a family medical issue, so she will not be here. But amongst all the problems, it's nothing to be worried about. I am your co-host, being your host tonight, Matt. Do have a couple guests and one calling in, and oh, I have my backup co-host who does Full Spectrum on Wednesdays with me. Hi. Dennis is here now. What's going on, man?
Oh, young man, you are so, so lucky. I couldn't reach you, couldn't even get the program up. I was about to send the cavalry. I had just given your address to our dear, dear, dear friend, Tracy, and she was ready to drive to Naperville to find you.
Oh, no.
Don't disappear like that on me, my brother. By the way, I'm doing wonderful. I hope everybody out there that's actually held on and listened is doing okay. On behalf of Matt and Brittany and, well, everybody involved, we definitely apologize for the delays. But, hey, glad we're here.
Yes, yes. Thank you, everybody. I do have actually Brandon Rush from Psycho Ghost Trackers and John Brightman are on hold right now. So let's, at least Brandon is. I think John just went away. So let's kick it off and give them their time because it's been cut in about a half hour. So thank you, Dennis. I know we can't have our back and forth because all this bullshit that I had to go through trying to get this launched. So one second.
Now let's kick this thing.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing
hey, Brandon, right. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, I do use the commodity suit, so I'll just stick around.
I saw it. I think John was actually in, too, and then he just popped out.
I told him to call back in. He should be right in, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, I just made sure I got it. So, now,
if you've never dealt with Blog Talk, you'll realize from time to time the switchboard decides to have a short bus moment, and it shows up a little bit late. And apparently that's what it decided to do to us tonight.
Yeah, many times I had that happen to me, too. It's like, wow. Or sometimes it'll just, like, cut off. And then, like,
yeah,
can't get back into it again.
Yeah, I mean, somebody hacked into, like, we run Full Spectrum on Wednesday nights, and somebody hacked into it a month or so ago and changed the password to the board so we couldn't get in, couldn't launch our own show. It's a mess. But, hey, we'll figure it all out. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good myself. I had to play my cat down to rest today, but that's about it.
How long had you had her, or him?
It was a hab. I had him for about 2 years. Took him to the vet today because I knew he wasn't doing well, and I could sense that he wasn't doing anything well, and he was full-blown with stomach cancer.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So we just put him down. He's in a good place now, so.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have my sympathy. Just 3 weeks ago, I believe, I had to put our oldest dog down for pretty much the same exact thing. We had him for about 15 years. But,
wow.
You know, it's one of those where you know that you're doing the right thing for him. It's the best for him. It'll make him feel better. They get to go on the other side. Now, here's the thing. Set up the recorders and, you know, see if you can still talk to him.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, yeah. I know it's Oro Pond store, so, you know. I got buddy that's listening on. He says that he lost sound from the show or something like that.
You're
I didn't hardly. I can barely understand that. So.
Yeah.
Well, definitely sorry to hear that. It's no matter what, you had him for 1 year, you had him for 20 years, it's hard to lose.
Yeah.
And I don't call them pets, I call them family members.
All right. So, what do we care to talk about tonight, gentlemen? We have so many things that we can discuss. Aside from
anything?
Blog Talk playing
yeah.
with us.
Yeah.
I had a really big weekend coming up. We got a huge hunt coming up, a big tour downtown Chicago. And then we're going to the Porch Theater and doing an all-nighter with Midnight Paranormal with Dave. I don't know if you know that guy.
All right.
Midnight Paranormal.
Yeah, you're going to be in my neck of the woods. I've actually been in the Portage numerous times.
Yeah. Yeah, he's listening to the show right now, so.
So what's some of the stories from the Portage? What can we hope to see on your evidence and reviews? For those that don't know, now, I'm such a damn buff. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, but I'm familiar with the Portage Theater.
Well, I have been there. I don't know really much. I know stories kind of about it. They say it's pretty highly active there, so I pretty much don't know really.
Now, is this, correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the one that an actress, if I remember right, an actress killed herself on stage or behind the scenes somewhere? And
yeah.
they see her come out?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
okay,
the story
so
I've heard.
Okay, so we're looking for both visual and audible evidence.
Yeah.
I believe there's, like, the entity of a small child is seen and heard up in the, like, balcony area. Is that the same place?
Yeah. But I looked up and did research on it. That's what, everything that comes up on it, you know, so we'll just have to check it out. See, I don't to walk in there.
So you're locked in overnight?
Yeah, we're going to do an overnighter there. And then I think from like 5 to like 10, there's a bus tour. They're going to take us to all a bunch of places in Chicago that are haunted
are
areas.
You taking one of Ursula's bus tours?
Yeah.
Man, you're so lucky.
Ursula is such a sweetheart, and she'll actually be joining us a little bit later.
Oh wow!
So, yeah, she's got about a half hour. She's going to call in about 9. So, 9 our time. But
So for those that don't know, Ursula is Ursula Bielski that runs, and forgive me if I get this name wrong, Matt, and correct me. Matter of fact, Matt, what's the name of the bus tours that she runs?
It's Chicago.
I'll leave it to
Chicago
you.
Chicago Haunting.
There we go.
Yeah. Chicago Haunting.
Yeah. So it's an amazing tour, and I actually believe she might be with us. Not on hold, not actually with us at the moment.
I think it's Dave calling in.
Well, switchboard showing, I got it looks like Dave and Ursula are here. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a party.
if you guys want to chat amongst yourselves, see what's up. I can confirm.
Yeah, you go ahead, Matt, and take care of the board.
Cue in Dave so we can talk about the Porter 9, the Porter's Theater, so I don't know much really about it.
I'll take a moment of Brandon's time and rattle his brain. So now you know that you have, well, reportedly anywhere, there are visual sightings, there are audible sightings. What kind of equipment do you plan to set up there and for those that don't know, can you tell us you know, give me a little description on each one.
I'm going to run the Obelisk X there. I'm going to run a full spectrum camera there. I know a lot of the other teams are probably going to have DVR systems going on. Pretty much that's about it. EMF meters going off, RIM pods probably.
Okay.
That's pretty much
it. When you run the full spectrum cameras, full spectrum digital, or you're running full spectrum video?
It's an HD digital full spectrum camera. The night vision one, so it's we'll see. It'll be the first time using it, so we're gonna check it out.
You definitely got to post some evidence. You got a website you want to plug that we can look forward to see the evidence? And as he checks to find out exactly what that is, folks, you get to listen to me for a moment. Trust me, I do the same thing. Between all the different ones that I'm trying to deal with and the Facebook and Twitter and company websites and all that. So,
I got a Facebook one and our website one. Our Facebook one is www.facebook.com/psychoghosttrackers. And our website is www.psychoghosttrackers27.web.com. I'll have them both posted on there.
So now if you come up with some decent evidence and something that's, even if it's just a really cool personal experience, you willing to come back on the show and let us know about it, tell us about it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Excellent. So of the Holy Grail being an apparition, we all know that as, anybody that does any ghost hunting or paranormal investigation, that's like the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, what do you look for most when you do an investigation? What just gets your blood boiling the most and gets you so excited for the next one?
Always trying to look for full body apparitions. Pretty much, I've been doing this since 2000. What really got me into doing this was at the house I live in is kind of active. When I was downstairs hooking up the TV, I turned around. I seen a full body apparition of an old woman dressed in like a red sweat dress. Turned around. And it turned out it was my great-grandma. It was the same dress that she died in, that we buried her in.
Really?
She was, it was pretty intense.
Did she die in that house?
No, she has not died in this house, but we got a lot of, her stuff that we took back from it. And they always say that they usually attach themselves to their stuff they used to have, Like, we got, a couch and a chair and stuff. One of her chairs that she always sat in, her whole life. So I'm assuming maybe she attached herself to it. I pretty much have EVPs that says her name out loud. A lot of, hissing. People that come here, they say that they see, little shadow figures running around. But it hasn't been so active lately. But let me say, a couple months ago, it was pretty active. It was turning the flashlight on, off and on. Not one of those twist flashlights, but one of the push flashlights. We would communicate to it, and it would turn on and off on some of the questions we would ask.
Now, had you loosened the bezel on it or anything? Or, did they have to use, full pressure to push the button?
They had to use full pressure to push the button on it. It was pretty exciting. It was kind of, a couple people got kind of scared from it, but some people say that maybe it was like a malfunction from the flashlight, but kind of hard to believe. when the flashlight, you have to push it to turn it on. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I've seen some of them where they talk about, you know, you back the bezel off a little bit to where it just barely is out of contact. And
yeah.
But, yeah, if you didn't even do that and it was just straight up, you know, touch it, you know, you have to push the button, well, that kind of takes that option off the table. You know, it's not a, what they try to say it was a heat and contact issue that, you know,
mm-hmm.
it would turn on and off sporadically. But if you didn't even alter it, you know, you just set the flashlight down and said push the button and it worked for you. Man, that's phenomenal. I mean,
yeah, yes.
And to be able to have one do that. Yeah.
Oh. The obelisk kept going off. It kept saying, it kept calling me an officer. Well, I am an officer. I do correctional in a jail out here in Crown Point, Indiana was. So it kept calling me officer. It kept telling me sit down. It kept saying, like, random stuff, like colors and stuff like that. So, you know, sometimes I think the obelisk ain't really accurate sometimes, but you never know, you know.
Yeah, see, I'm not a, I don't know how much of a believer in the obelisk I am, simply because,
yeah.
you know, it seems to spit out random words at random times that don't have a correlation to jack shit that has anything to do with what I ask it.
Yeah, no.
So, I understand you died in a desert boat.
Yeah. Like I had one say, what's your favorite color? And it said apple. Like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Are you talking about red?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not.
Now,
well,
if it responds with, you know, actually relevant stuff, then I'd be more of a believer in it. But, yeah, at this point, I mean, I hate to say it, and I hate to, you know, there are some teams that will, you know, they'll hang their integrity on a piece of new technology. If I spend 80% of my time getting irrelevant crap, I'm not going to hang anything on that.
Yeah, I know.
But,
yeah,
to be able to set a flashlight down and have it turn on and off, that's pretty exciting.
That's very exciting, yeah. I mean, I got videos on it. I'm going to post them on the website on it. I got some videos on there from a couple of investigations we've been to. We went to one in Cedar Lake. It was a museum called the Red Cedar Museum. That one was pretty intense. Walking around, kept smelling like old cigar smells. And got a lot of EVPs. Like, we were walking upstairs, there was a piece of board that was stuck up in the thing, and I was telling everybody watch, don't trip. Well, then I got a voice that came through my real-time EVP recorder saying trip. Like, it said it out loud, like a real deep, kind of sound like a demonic voice that said trip, like that, like it was trying to tell us that he wanted us to trip on that piece of board.
Yeah, so it was either mimicking you or warning you, one or the other.
Yeah, or piggybacking off of me. I don't know what it was doing, but it was, I got a couple of voices of, like, a woman. I went to the room. I felt kind of, like, uneasy dizziness. I knew that she was in here, like, some entity was in this room with me, and I said, why don't you come through and speak? And it said, I'm here, like a woman's voice. And that was the only thing I could get out of it. It wouldn't talk anymore after that, so...
Right.
We're gonna go back.
Hey, now Blog Talk decides to strike again. It's showing that there's four callers, but nobody's phone number is actually up of who's who. But I got it all figured out, so I have no idea what's going on tonight. I don't know if it's solar storm residual from the meteor that went through Russia. Who knows? But I do have. The gentleman that you're going to be doing everything with, which is Dave from Midnight Paranormal, who I've talked with a bunch of times at events. Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Good, what's going on?
Not much.
Yeah, just letting you know that we're going to Chinatown Saturday. We're meeting at the Portage at 11 o'clock.
Oh.
We're going to be doing Ethel's party on 26th Street down, or I'm sorry, on Wentworth Street at 11:30, 12 o'clock, and we'll be there locked in all night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so this is, Brandon, this is the one that you're going on, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually supposed to be a really, really, really cool night. It's funny how everything is kind of tying together because Ursula should be, you know, calling in, in a little bit. So, Dave, I know you know Ursula.
Yeah, she was on my show last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came in and sat down with us for an hour.
Yeah. Her and Carl, everybody's just that, you know, that whole group and with you guys and everything, it's awesome every event that we do that I get to hang out with you guys because it's always smiles, laughs, phenomenal. We fundraisers, we raise a whole bunch of money and everything for local charities, stuff like that. So it's such a really cool, close-knit group.
Right. Were you at the picnic for Batchers Grove?
Yes, I was there.
I was the DJ.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I got some pretty cool photos of the giant Reaper that was walking around.
Yeah, he's awesome. I'm still trying to get him back on the show. We lost track with him. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, I haven't heard really anything from him recently.
He's been working on some kind of movie or documentary or something, so he's been kind of out of the picture.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys will forgive me, I have to throw my disclaimer out here. I was not expecting to be a co-host tonight, so I didn't have a chance to research and see anything about you guys. So if I sound like a complete dumbass, feel free to call me one. I'm good with it.
So just so you know, the history on Ethel's party, way, way back, it used to be a mortuary.
Oh, wow.
And it was converted from mortuary to mortuary funeral home. And while they were dissecting people, they were having wakes upstairs. And then they changed it from mortuary to strictly just funeral home, and they were just basically doing wakes up there. And we're going back 20s, 10s, 20s, 30s, when you were basically waking all the gangsters and mobsters and just bad people, and they did a lot of that there. So we were Midnight Paranormal Society basically was the first group to actually ever be able to be allowed to do an overnighter there, and it was a very interesting night.
And what was the name of the location?
Ethel's Party. ETHYL'S Party.
Okay.
It's up there. It's 2600.
I'm in Richmond, so I don't know about the... Okay. Yeah, I'm in Richmond, Virginia, so I don't know about that area, but it sounds pretty damn
cool. Oh, okay.
Cool.
It is. Actually, it is pretty... You know, if we can get the investigation this weekend, you know, last time we did it, there was a lot of people and there was a lot of walking. It's hardwood floors, and it's like you can hear right through them. So when you're down in the infested basement and you got all these people walking upstairs, it's kind of hard to get a good EVP and such. But once we calmed down and once we were able to relax, we started getting some really, really good evidence. We got an apparition actually on the stairs. We have video of that. As he was saying earlier, he did the light. We did the flashlight test ourselves, and the kick on that was it was funny as hell. The woman the bartender that was watching us for the night, she got herself a little tipsy, and I was doing my flashlight test around 2:30, and she thought it was all bullshit, so she went over and sat down by the flashlight. And she thought we were controlling the flashlight. So after watching it go off and on for a while, she finally said, ubiquitous. She grabbed the flashlight. She turned it all the way on. It was a twist. And it was a twist magnum. And she twisted it all the way on. And she set it down. She says, "All right, smartass, if you're really doing this, turn it off." And bam, that light went off. That girl jumped.
How long after that did she run to the bathroom?
She jumped higher than... I've got this all on video, too. I'm trying to get it on disc where I can load it and get it on YouTube. But it was hilarious, man. This thing was turned completely on. I mean, you couldn't shake it and turn it off. And she's like, "All right, turn it off." And that thing just went pop. And she was just like, "Oh, my God."
Yeah, she... Anytime that, now I've done, you know, I can't even tell you how many investigations, but anytime that you can get some, you know, non-believer or skeptic and freak them the hell out,
yeah,
and get some evidence that there may be something to this, and that the reaction is priceless. So I definitely got to see that one, Dave. You got to make sure to upload that one.
Absolutely. It was great, man. You should have saw her. She just jumped. And Brandon, we went art theater together.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you tell them about the apparition we caught in the hallway?
No, I haven't told them yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dave has a picture of we were all sitting down. And we were giving like a story about the place and like. Last night, he was talking about on the show that a lot of ghost hunters don't want to hear about that because you'd rather just walk into it. Well, knowing it's a theater, he's going to tell us all about it. And we're all down there sitting, and he turns around, takes a picture off his phone, and gets a full apparition of a, I don't know, was it an old man or a woman?
I think it was the owner.
The owner of the place?
I think it was the owner, yeah, because it was right in the back, by the back two seats where him and his wife would sit.
Yeah, so nobody was back there. We were all sitting down, listening to this guy talking about this place, and he snapped his picture, and it was there, and then he snapped it again, and it was not there, so.
Yep.
It was pretty intense.
That you could see on Facebook if you go to Midnight Paranormal. It's on in the photos on Facebook.
Yeah, that's definitely one I gotta see. I've got like one of the members on my team is a law enforcement officer. He's kind of a skeptic, but he saw some stuff in an old apartment that he used to live in that made him have that, well, I don't know, maybe moment. He's the only one that is not. Like, you know, glow-in-the-dark white. He's kind of Spanish with, you know, so he's a little darker than the rest of us. I've got an EVP of him and one of the other investigators in one room, just the two of them. Nobody else is near them. We're on a totally separate level in the building. And the EVP comes in, Kate, and then it says the N-word. And he's like, "Oh, man, come on. Why I got to be that?" He's like, "Last week, the damn thing called out two investigators and I'm second. This week, I got to be that?" He's like, "Man, somebody's playing with the recorders, ain't they?" So we're standing out in the middle of we got the lights on, we're setting up equipment and everything, and we, all of us with our ears, heard male voice, but we couldn't distinguish what the hell was said. We didn't have any recorders going yet, nothing. I'm like, "I'm going to set up a recorder." So I fire up the little pocket Sony, and I'm like, "All right, we think we just heard you. Feel free to talk to us. If you're here, then let us know that you're here." And I've got the same exact voice says, "Hello." And he looks and goes, "Oh, he sounds so damn polite there, but he's going to call me the N-word in the other room." After, with the look on his face, I mean, he'd never heard an EVP in his life. He had never played with any of this. And the look on his face when he got that, and he's like, really? What the hell?
Wow.
I mean, it was definitely priceless.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Have you guys heard EVPs without recording them, like out loud with your own ears before? I know.
Yeah, I've got. Well, you know, I roll an H4 in, I roll an H2. Both of those you can do, if you plug in earbuds, you can hear it live. So whatever the recorder picks up, you can hear in the earbuds.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, they're nice in that aspect. I mean, Bell Tone ain't got crap on these things, man. You can hear a mosquito fart.
You know, Ken picked one of those up recently, and he was telling me about that, and I want to get one. He said it works wonderful.
Well, make sure you have the settings right. Because I believe it records automatically at 41 kilohertz.
Nice.
Which really doesn't pick up a whole lot. If you drop it back to like 8,000 hertz, it'll pick up very nicely. So you have to go through and adjust the settings on it. But as a monitor, oh man, it's phenomenal. You can hear EVPs as they are recorded. But, you know, we've all pretty much heard, you know, something with our own ears without hearing it on the recorder first. You just hear it, and then when you do your review, you go, holy crap, that really was there?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, what they call a disembodied voice. And, I mean, if you're on video and you catch a voice saying something, and your whole team looks at each other like they're ready to crap in their drawers, you know full well that there's something there with you.
Absolutely.
I mean, for the skeptics to go, oh, there's nothing on the other side, they can't talk to us, I challenge you to go into a location with me where you hear disembodied voices, and you can see everybody that's in that building, and you know exactly where everybody is. And if you run your team right, you do this. You know exactly where everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hear a voice and it's not one of your team members, I challenge any skeptic to tell me that the other side doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah, I had one out here by me in Hobart area. At Deep River Park, we were all sitting out there. It was probably like 5:30 in the morning. We were sitting up there, and a bunch of us were sitting up on this, like, bench. And it was kind of cold out. And I was like, oh, why don't you bring your demonic butt over here? I want to talk to you. And my buddies were like, man, I'll bring that over here. I don't want to deal with that tonight. I was like, man, don't worry about it. I was like, all they do is talk to the recorder. They don't talk out loud. All of a sudden, we seen a white light with a yellow beam in there. All of a sudden, you hear this thing right between our ears says, hi. And I heard it, Dwayne Jane, everybody heard it. I jumped up. I had, like, goosebumps up, like, everywhere. And it was pretty cool. And I got it on the recorder, and I came home, and I put it on the computer, and I was trying to, like, echo it, seeing if I can, like debug it or something. And, no, it echoed my voice, but would not echo that voice at all. So that's how I know it was paranormal. It wasn't.
Nice.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's Brandon that's selling us this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Brandon, how does that all they do is talk to the recorder, they don't talk out loud shit work for you now?
lately, they've been talking in the recorder now. They haven't been talking out loud to me lately, so I haven't been back.
Yeah, now you know they can.
I'm thinking
that was kind of one of those spirits going, okay, challenge accepted.
Yeah. Well, a lot of stuff has happened out there. I mean, he blew her head off right out there. A guy hung himself on the bridge. I go and talk to the people that own the place. They keep telling me that it's a new built building. Well, the grounds have been there for years.
Yeah, it has.
And anything could happen there. And there's a lot of water. There's a big old stream that goes all around it. Usually water brings a lot of energy for spirits to talk off of. And that place is, I'm going to tell you, that place is hands down active. I mean, it's, I've got scratched out there. You name it. I haven't been out there since when I heard that high. There was like always trying to get me to go back.
Now,
there
now he missed it now.
Yeah.
Too
I
close
feel like
to
something
now.
Wants me to go there all the time. I'm waiting for the sun. I'm waiting for it to get a little bit warmer out, and I'm going to set up a big hunt out there. To go out there again and see.
Sun to come up, huh?
Yeah. I'm trying to set up one for me and Dave and his team to go out to the Opera House. Out there in Rossville, it's a three-story building. I guess Al Capone was out there. It's a pretty cool place. It's a pretty active place too.
Nice.
Have you got like silencers or anything to go over top of your recorders? Or I mean, if there's wind noise, can they get you the mics?
I don't have a silencer on mine. I got like a little mic piece I can plug into it. That's about it.
Hey, Dave. I know we were talking about the H4N and stuff earlier. Before you actually go out and buy one, if you want to mess with it, you can always use mine first. So and see how you like it, because it is kind of a hit or miss device, and I know Dennis can attest to this.
Yeah.
It is something that you really, really have to do. That you really have to dial it in. Which mine's already set up, and I've got some great things. But I've also on my $40 Sony caught things that my $400 H4N didn't pick up. So
exactly. I like my Sony. I definitely like my Sony.
Well, I think it all depends on the setting that you have it on. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the H4N automatically records at 4,100 kilohertz. Well, that's, 41,000 hertz, 41 kilohertz, something like that. So it records just the high realm, whereas the Sony's and... You know, the basic little cheap ones that you'll buy. They just have here's a cheap plug, Matt. They have a full spectrum. They don't have a zone that they record in. Speaking of
Love full spectrum,
ladies and gentlemen, on Wednesday nights from 9 to 11 Eastern time, catch these two crazy SOBs running another radio show.
There is the plug. There is the plug. But hey, guys, I do have to say we are in the presence of the always elegant and amazing Ursula Bielski is with us. Hey, Ursula, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am doing fantastic now that I got all the bugs worked out of this damn show. Except for I can't see anybody's phone numbers. So who's who on the board is kind of like roulette is what I'm playing at the moment. But
hello, Ursula.
Hello.
This is Dave, Midnight Paranormal Society.
How are you?
I'm good. Long time no talk.
Long time no talk to, right?
Yeah, what, 24 hours?
Yeah.
Has it been that long? I don't know if it's even been that long, has it? It's like 27 hours, maybe.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah.
Almost 27 hours.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, our show, we had the most highest rating show last night with you. Thank you.
Did you really? That is so fantastic. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No, you know, you totally deserve it. You're a fantastic host. You're a really great host. You're very engaging. You're great. You're really great at what you do.
Well, thank you. But we're
and
on
I
their
know
show
what I'm
now,
talking
so
about because I'm really, really old and I've been doing this a long time and I know what I'm talking about.
Shut up, Ursula.
You don't know what you're talking about, okay?
Oh, no. Anyway, so we're going to have a good weekend this weekend, aren't we, Ursula?
We are. We are going to do what, Dave?
Go ahead. It's your bus tour.
We are, yeah, Midnight Paranormal Society and Chicago Hauntings is getting together this weekend. We are going to be hosting a tour together, and we are going to be going all around Chicago doing a tour of all of the most haunted locations in Chicago from, what, like 8 to midnight. And then we are going to be investigating a really actually very frightening location in Chinatown in an old funeral parlor in Chinatown from midnight to dawn with Len Dorman. And this is an old kind of Chinatown mob location.
Yeah.
And it's a very active location, actually. And it's one of those locations in Chicago where you don't know if you should be more afraid of the living or the dead, right, Dave?
Well, we didn't have that many problems when we were there the first time.
I've had a lot of problems at this location. This location is called, it's a bar called Ethel's Party. And let me tell you, Matt, the first time I went to this location is 2 years ago. You know, I don't know, some of the listeners know that I run Chicago Hauntings with my ex-husband, Dave. And we had gone into this location for the first time 3 years ago, right before we did a tour that left from Chinatown. And we had gone into the bar to just see, to kind of feel the place out, to see if we could bring pub crawls in there. Because we knew that it was a haunted location. It's a very old bar in an old funeral home in Chinatown. And we wanted to see, like, hey, can we bring pub crawls in here? You know, bring some tours in here, see what's going on. We had just gone in there to have a drink. There was no one in there except someone that seemed like they might be, like, a bouncer. And the woman behind the bar that was serving drinks. We were promptly shaken down by the bouncer who locked the doors and took me into a room behind the bar. I thought I was going to be killed, literally. And Dave was taken into another room. And Dave and I, who grew up in Chicago, Dave on the west side, myself on the north side, we have never been so scared in our entire lives growing up in Chicago as we were the first time we were taken into this location. So now Len, who has investigated this location in Chinatown, assures us that everything's okay. And so this is the location that we're going to this weekend. We've never actually investigated here, but again, I say that we don't know if we should be more afraid of the living or the dead in this place.
So Brandon, well, are you getting a little more psyched for this, or what?
This is not the... Let me say, hold on. This is not the worst story about this place. Len told me a much worse story about this place. Richard Crow, the late, great, original ghost hunter of Chicago, took a tour group to Ethel's Party a few years ago, took the tour group into the location, was standing out on the sidewalk, and had a man come out of the bar and slit his wrist out on the sidewalk, committed suicide in front of his entire tour group, out on the sidewalk, in front of his entire ghost tour group, out on the sidewalk, in front of Ethel's Party.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, a very interesting location.
was this a well, at that moment, a living person that slit his wrist in front of the tour group?
I'm sorry, what?
Was he real or paranormal? Or yeah.
No, this is a bar patient.
Oh shit.
A patient of the bar.
I think my only words are, oh shit.
Yeah, there's
Matt, are you coming?
It's Saturday night, correct?
Yeah.
Saturday night.
Yeah, I
midnight
might,
to dawn.
That one I should be able to make 100% no problem.
Awesome.
You should have any problems.
Don't suck, by the way. I just want you to know that.
Wait, what was that, Dennis?
And
you shouldn't have any problems
suck.
Parking.
No.
Parking should be fine.
I can park my Jeep. Oh, well, actually, you know what? I might have to call the parents and ask for a solid roof vehicle because I don't know if I want to bring my soft top Jeep to this area.
No, they only split roofs or wrists, not roofs.
The Chinatown Mafia might not like your Jeep too well.
Yeah,
we had a law enforcement escort the night we did the investigation, and they kind of sat around the place the whole night. So we actually had three officers in the building for a while, and then they left.
Yeah.
And sat out. They sat outside, so we kind of had enforcements around the building while we were there.
If they're cool with me parking on top of their squad car, then that's fine. But
It's a very, very weird place. Very strange place.
I just want you all to know I'm jealous as hell.
See, Dennis, that's what's nice about the Chicago area. Even though you are CPR, it's, what, a 9.5-hour commute for you to get in this area?
Roughly.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
say like Dave or Ursula can call me and say, hey, you know, we got this going on or this is coming up. Can you go? No, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'll see you.
Yeah, yeah. Rub it in.
But for everybody, like for everybody else, Dennis, I do have to give you kudos on this. You can call CPR East and say, hey, you want to go check out this battlefield or this plantation? And you're there in, like, 10 minutes.
Right.
Well, I've got the benefit that as the crow flies, I'm 3 to 5 miles between 3 major battlefields. I got Gaines Mills, Cold Harbor, and, Seven Pines. Which, you know, compliments of all of them, they're within 3 to 5 miles of me. Wow. Compliments of them, I think that's why I've got the spirit in my house.
Nice.
I mean, there's nowhere around here that you really feel alone. So it's kind of cool in that aspect, but I'd love to be able to, you know, just hook up with a bunch of friends like you guys can up there and be able to, you know, pretty much at a moment's notice, go find somewhere really cool like this.
Yeah.
Now,
I
will say this. The people down here, when they have weird shit happening, they're a lot more welcoming for a team to come in than Matt has described them being up there. So, you know, that's also a benefit. But I just don't have, you know, locations like you guys do with, you know, the mafia ties and, you know, such wonderful things as people coming in to become apparitions for us to see at later dates in the middle of our tours.
Right. Tell my father-in-law's got a freaking Native American battlefield. He's got 50 acres of land where he used to battle all the time. We're going out investigating over there for Labor Labor Day weekend, a whole week, or Memorial weekend, a whole weekend. We're going to have cams up and everything. And you see these guys walking,
Dave's father-in-law is down from Central Illinois. He comes from a really cool place down there.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we're we're both in Central Illinois.
It's Clinton, Illinois, out by DeKalb.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt, he's getting campers together for that Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Put tents up right out in the field, and come midnight, 1 o'clock, we're going to go take a hike. Right, he's got 22 acres of just nothing but trails in the woods, and we're going to go in the woods and take some EVPs and get some video going and some full spectrum shots and all the good stuff. It's pretty much all Native American.
That's the one thing I love about our show, Dennis, is no matter what, anytime a camera's brought up, it's a plug for our show.
Right.
Yeah. So what kind of camera are you going to use, Dave?
That one camera called Full Spectrum
Radio.
Oh yeah, don't they have a radio show on Wednesday nights too?
Full Spectrum camera
radio?
That you're gonna use?
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And that would be why I wear a helmet most of the time.
The last time we were there, I had the cam set up for two straight nights, and during one of the bad storms we had here in Illinois in the summer, I had a cam set up out in front of the house. Well, I actually had something come up. It manifested right in front of my camera. Now, you're talking a complete full downpour. I mean, 100% downpour. And this thing manifested about 10 feet from the camera, and it literally walked right through the cam. And it was Native American because you could see it had like a wolf's head, like a wolf's hat on. And 12 hours later, all my gear was trashed and put on the floor in the basement where I had it all running, my laptop, my DVR system, my brand new screen I bought. It was all pulled off the table and trashed out on the concrete. I was so upset because it was some of the best evidence I ever had. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so,
and that's Labor Day weekend, right?
Yeah. What's the first one? Because that's Labor Day coming up, right? The first one? Or Memorial Day?
Memorial Day.
Memorial weekend. The first
Memorial Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Friday through, we're going to try to do Friday night through Monday afternoon.
Matt, you got to come to that.
Yeah,
in the cemetery that's over there, you could sit and watch these apparitions. You literally could sit on the corner and just watch them walking through the cemetery. They dash between the stones. You literally can see them, visibly see them dashing, the black shadows dashing through the stones. It's really amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I'll tell you, some of the best places I think I've ever been. I mean, it sounds morbid and whatever. I mean, this is what we live for. Some of the best places I've ever been are cemeteries, simply because there are so many there that, you know, I don't know if they want to be there. I don't know if they realize that they are there. You know, I've been accused of having some abilities, and I've talked to a couple of ladies that are psychics also, and the one that torments me at my favorite location, I think we've got him narrowed down to somebody. I only find him in the file room. That seems to be the location in that building that he gets the most aggressive with him. So what we've come up with at this point anyway is he knows he's there, but he wants proof. So he's trying to find his own documentation that he's actually there. So it was a quick tragic death is what we're thinking. But how many in a cemetery met a quick tragic death and are, you know, their spirit's kind of hanging around going, what the hell? What the hell do I do now? And, you know, where do I go? What do I do? What, you know. I mean, I realize that sounds morbid, but cemeteries are just, well, strange anyway, but.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we were.
Go ahead, Ursula.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm just finishing up a book on a cemeteries in Cook County here in Chicago, and we were just at a cemetery today, and we were at the mausoleum at Acacia Park here in Chicago, and we're just taking some photographs with our friends and just saw some lights flitting through the screens as we were taking pictures. And there had been no one buried in this mausoleum that we were in probably 40 or 50 years. And yet, from the pictures that we were taking, it seemed obvious that there were still spirits in this mausoleum. And, you know, we'd like to think that there was no one here anymore, but from the pictures that we were taking, it seemed that there still were. And it really makes you wonder what makes people remain behind after all of these years. And it really makes you think, after all of these years that we've been investigating, we have all of these theories. What makes people stay behind? And we have, you know, these TV shows that say, that, like, the what was that TV show with Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Ghost Whisperer.
The Ghost Whisperer, that was based on the real-life person that said that the people stay behind for 7 or 10 days after they die. You know, the many people that say that people stay behind for 3 days after they pass away. But nobody says that people stay behind for a long time after they die. And if we see things for, you know, 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 years after they pass away, that these are residual hauntings and these aren't real people that are left behind, and we're not actually seeing real people or experiencing real people that are here, that these are just impressions that are left behind. Who's to say, and who's to say what's really going on here? And at what point is somebody or some science going to step forth and make sense of all of this for us?
Well, I have to say,
that's where we come in.
And I was going to say, Matt's probably going to join in with me on this same exact thought. That's the reason I'm in it.
Yeah.
I want to know what's on the other side, and I want to know that, you know, why is that entity that's giving me intelligent responses? You can't tell me that someone that passed away 3 to 7 days ago or 10 days ago or whatever the theories are, you can't tell me that if I asked an entity or if I asked, well, hell, if I asked the air while doing an EVP session, you know, what occurred here 50 years ago or 100 years ago, and I get an intelligent response, you can't tell me that an entity that, you know, somebody that passed away 2 weeks ago is going to know that answer and give me an intelligent response. So
yeah.
I'm convinced that there are reasons that they're held here on Earth for some purpose.
Yeah.
I just went into, like you mentioned, the cemetery. I just went into a mausoleum. And by the way, pardon me, everybody that's listening, to the piece of shit that broke into this mausoleum and desecrated those caskets, I hope the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits and may your arms be too short to scratch your pieces. Never mind.
Anyone that says it's the dead is, unbelievable.
That one makes me kind of ill. There's one actual crypt or mausoleum in this whole cemetery, and it's down the hill. It's out of sight from the main roads. Somebody had broken into it. There are four caskets in the crypt that you can actually see. They've been pulled out of their holding place. I set up my H2 inside there, and I tagged my audio. This is CPR Graham and Dennis. One of the questions that I asked was, can you tell me how many were placed in this crypt? And I've got a very deep voice that tells me 4. Now, you can see 4 caskets inside the crypt, but it makes you wonder if it were only in hypothetical, as the shows say, 2-week-old past person. Okay, they would know that only 4 people were in it. I don't know how long it's been since the last one was placed in it. I've got a name on the crypt, but there are no numbers left on it. So, but yeah, you're right, Ursula. It makes no sense. And, at some point, our science and our going out on a limb, we're going to find something that pretty much the entire field will agree, this leads to believe that, will there ever be concrete evidence? I don't know.
Ursula, Dennis actually sent me that audio clip of that EVP, and I sent him back, at first, and this is with him not telling me anything. At first, I heard 4, and then as I was playing it, I started to hear 10. But it wasn't 100%, a Class A or, irrefutable.
No.
Or anything, but when I started listening to it, I heard 4, I heard 4, I heard 4, then I heard 10, which doesn't even sound anything close to 4. I don't know if that was my mind switching it to what it was, but he didn't tell me a damn thing about it before it was sent.
No,
yeah.
Matt, I actually shared that same exact one with Helmut Kramer, from Haunted Encounters Face to Face, Helmut Kramer. I sent it to him, and he came up with the same thing at first. He's like, I think I hear 10, maybe 4, can't really tell. But, once he actually ran it through software, then he came back, it definitely said 4. So, it's definitely an intelligence response. Now, the question is, how old is that individual?
Yeah.
And that brings to light Ursula's question of, how long ago did this person die? I did ask that, and I didn't get a response, sadly. But, it does make one wonder.
Yeah. I mean, Ursula and I have done a couple places, and we certain places we came up empty-handed, certain places I did actually get some stuff from, but Ursula, the one thing I've been talking about, and I kind of want to know your opinion on this too, is for when you watch the shows, for example, and you're watching Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, you know, places like that, and I don't know if over the years that you've developed kind of a familiarity or a relationship when you go into a place that you don't really get anything from the first time you're there, maybe the second time a little bit more, but once the spirits or whatever it may be is familiar with you, then it comes out and talks a little bit more than just being a first time, hey, we're here talking to this, you know, scream as loud as you can, like, what the hell are you asking me that for? That just repetitive presence in that place to develop familiarity, I don't know if that's something that, you've noticed to be a little more successful.
I don't know, man, if it's as much a relationship with a place, but it's definitely as much as a relationship with a place over time, but it's definitely a relationship with a place as far as a person, and you know that it's talking to you. And that's exactly that, you've hit it on the head. That is the stuff that I'm talking about when, as a paranormal investigator that's been doing this for 25 years, that I am not looking for seeing something or hearing something or smelling something. I am looking for something to mess with me. And I've had that happen to me probably 4 or 5 times in 25 years. It happened to me last summer twice at Saddamsville with Dave Wismer, that was on the phone with us tonight, when we were at Saddamsville in Cincinnati, when we were absolutely engaged with something at the rectory. It happened to me at Bachelor's Grove, absolutely, when I was lost in the woods at Bachelor's Grove with Pete Crapia, who mapped the trails at Bachelor's Grove, who could walk those trails blindfolded for 15 years, and we were lost for 5 hours in the woods, could not find our way out of probably 3 miles of trails in the suburbs of Cook County. Could not find our way out, and kept seeing cars and houses, and then kept seeing houses and cars, walk towards them, and then kept being enveloped in vacuums of silence and darkness, just as all the legends said, and were absolutely convinced that we were being played with by something. That's the kind of stuff that convinces me that there's something out there.
Yeah. I mean, Dave was talking about this when we were at the, and Brandon brought it up too, at the Bachelor's Grove picnic.
Yeah.
That was all, I mean, we, like, when we did a walkthrough and everything, and for what was seen on Ghost Adventures when they were there, that's just...
That was amazing. The Ghost Adventures episode at Bachelor's Grove, we were cringing when Ghost Adventures went there because we thought it was going to be, they were going to stage something. What they found at Bachelor's Grove was something that I actually saw there 20 years ago. Those lights that they saw there was something that's very unique to Bachelor's Grove, was something that I actually saw there 20 years ago, one of the first times that I went there. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. That was very cool.
Yeah. Dennis, next time you're around, Ursula and I will take you to Bachelor's Grove, and it's you might poo a little.
Really? You really? Yeah. Look, well, that's all good because, you know, at my age, I wear these Depends for a reason. So they're a smart ass. But yeah, well, you didn't know better take me.
I wasn't saying that you're going to be scared of anything. It just for the amount of time that we're going to be there, you know, with your incontinence being older, it's you know, just bring an extra pair.
But yeah, it's that stuff, man. It's that realization over a period of time, over several hours, when you realize gradually that there's something out there that's playing with you. That's the thing over all of these years. And it's happened, you know, a half dozen times. That's convinced me that there's something out there. That's the stuff that gets me.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we... Ursula, we've done a couple of private residences. We've done,
yeah,
you know, and that's all I was asking because the one in Summit that we did,
yeah,
which I don't know if she still owns it or not, but that's a place I would actually love to get back into.
Yeah.
So
that was kind of that's a cool. Couple cool things we got there.
Yeah, and. Dennis, and I don't think that we talked about this, but the one thing that was interesting about that night that we did is Ursula brought the PX out, and it was the same words for hours. And
mm-hmm.
she said it's never happened that way, like with the PX anywhere. But I mean, it was up, and it kept saying, like, up, out,
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and that was cool. That was very, very cool.
And then...
That was really cool.
What was the correlation to anything that was going on? I mean...
It was hot as hell.
It was really... It was like a... Literally, did we have a thermometer?
Yeah,
I think
it was
literally 100 degrees.
I had the millimeter. And,
we were in the attic of the house. It was like literally 100 degrees.
Well, the attic was furnished as the upstairs also, so
yeah.
it was a bedroom. It wasn't a like just a wooden, you know, whatever attic. It was carpet. It was drywall. It was recessed lighting.
Right.
Like it was actually done really, really nice. But my millimeter was showing. And what was it, like 10:45 or 11 o'clock or
yeah.
something like that when we went into that area? My millimeter was showing 97.7 degrees.
Yeah.
And there no windows open, no nothing. We were literally sweating our asses off as we were doing that. And we were up there for hours.
We were.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe a nice spring day when it'll be in the 80s, maybe 70s in the house.
Yeah.
Little iced tea with umbrellas would be nice. But, yeah.
No. Hey, David, are you still with us?
No, it's just us now. David has gone. So is Brandon, which I want to thank both of them for sure. I mean, David from local.
Midnight Paranormal Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, David and Brandon both from Midnight Paranormal Investigators and Midnight Paranormal Radio.
And Brandon from Psycho Ghost Trackers out of Indiana, our neighbors.
Psycho Ghost Trackers?
Yeah,
Psycho
Is that
Ghost
what they're called?
Trackers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Psycho Ghost Trackers.
And Ursula, oh, also, are there still spots open for your tour this weekend, or is that booked up?
For the Midnight Paranormal, I think there are a few spots, maybe half a handful. So you can go to ChicagoHauntings.com to reserve for those.
All right, which I will have to do right after the show and buy my ticket.
Yes, and they can go on the tour, which starts at 8, and they can also come to the investigation at this very scary Ethel's party in Chinatown, and we'll protect you from midnight to dawn.
I am so stoked for that right now.
You want to cover,
what?
Matt, you want to cover my expenses for the Saturday night Chicago Hauntings tour?
Are you coming?
Well,
I will cover your expenses, and I will cover your, I'll bring my gun and cover your ASS.
I'll bring my own gun. That's not a problem. The trouble is I got to get from Richmond, Virginia to Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, you should totally come. That would be awesome. Are you going to come?
No, I can't.
How
really.
Great would that
I
be?
I really can't. It would cost me probably somewhere in between $300 and $500 with fuel cost and everything else. But here's the really cool thing.
You
mentioned,
hitchhike?
I did once until the trooper stopped me. He seemed a little pissed.
See, Ursula, we do have to plan a trip down to Richmond, and there's places
I would love that. I've always wanted to go to Richmond.
Yes, I was down there, and that's actually how I met Dennis, and he impressed me so much that he became me out there. So,
oh dear God!
I am now Ursula. I don't know how much Matt talked to you about me. I am the leader of CPR East.
Dear God!
Yes, he's spawned in an older version, but and a scarier version for the most part.
You know what? That just sounds wonderful. Because, you know, I love Matt more than anything in the whole world.
The only thing in this world I love better than Matt is a damn good pot of coffee and a healthy number two first thing in the morning. But that's beside the point.
Wow.
Wait, what's the number two?
You know, I couldn't resist
that. It's not a pencil, is it?
You're talking about the number two value meal at McDonald's or something, right?
I said a pencil.
Yeah, the breakfast number two. That's
okay, good.
McDonald's.
I'd be a little offended if I was compared to a cup of coffee in a morning feces removal.
Oh no. Number two breakfast value menu actually mine is Hardee's because they have, you know, the ham sausage and cheese biscuit.
Ah, yes.
I'm going to stick with a pencil.
Yeah. First of all, thank you.
I'm going to go.
I got stuff to do.
I'm just going to go.
I will say this, Ursula. If you do manage to make it to Virginia, I have a couple of locations here that CPR East is I utilize them kind of as my training grounds. I know what to expect to an extent, but even I get dumbfounded sometimes by what comes through. They're phenomenal locations. Plus, I've got all the battlefields around me that, you know, we can go play in, and I've got, you know, countless
great stuff.
Old mansions that, you know, just fantastic. I can't even begin to go into all of them. It leaves me speechless trying to think of all of them. But, yeah, if you do manage to make it down this way, by all means, bring that with you.
Dennis, I would be honored to go on your playground.
It would be a blast.
So, some of the places. I do want to welcome Dave back. He is with us again. So
Matt, let's take a summer trip down there.
Well, you know, we've been talking about doing a through a whole, like, big tour. We just need to find somebody to work for us. And
we should do that.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% all about going back to Richmond. I did. Dennis wasn't able to go this night, but we went to the Weston Plantation. And that place is ridiculous in its history. We didn't have a ton of time there to really, really investigate, but I mean, we had, and it was the closest to the stereotypical, like, elder Southern woman thing that we had. I mean, the only thing they were missing was the big hats. Like, it looked like, being down there with the people and the owners, it was almost like Kentucky Derby style meeting. And it was so cool. I mean, the grounds were gorgeous. There's a huge, huge river right behind it. And the slave quarters, the kitchen, like just walking around that whole property, like it sucked you back into that time. And there's
I've got another location very similar to that. I'm actually going to throw a plug for them. It's of no benefit to me, but it is to them, hopefully. It's called the Exchange Hotel, and it's in Gordonsville, Virginia, which is a little over an hour away from me. It's just simply amazing. It was built in the early 1800s. It spent the beginning of its life as a hotel, then became a transfer hospital, which means it dealt with both Union and Confederate injured and wounded in battle. It's a National Registry of Historic Sites location, and I'll tell you what, the feelings in this place are just crazy. The EVPs that come out of this place are just phenomenal. It's just really cool.
Sounds like Saddam, though.
Yeah, it makes my skin crawl just knowing the energy that's there and feeling the energy. There's actually three buildings on the location. One is a train depot house that used to sit less than a foot off the railroad tracks. And what they would do is bring the rail cars up, and they would unload the injured straight from the rail car into the depot building. They wouldn't throw a ramp out or anything. It sat that close. They've since moved it back away from the rail tracks, but it would take in Union and Confederate soldiers. And it has 12-foot ceiling joists, and they would stack the dead to the joists over in one corner. And just the energy that's in this place is just palpable. I mean, it's crazy. There's a kitchen that was also used as a slave housing quarters. The hotel itself is three stories. The second floor bedroom on the right-hand side was used for a surgery suite. They have a picture showing the severed limbs stacked up to the window.
Jeez.
On the second floor. I mean, it's crazy the energy that's in this location. So that would be my gratuitous plug for the Exchange Hotel there in Gordonsville. You got to check it out.
Exchange Hotel.
Yeah, real quick. Really, really quick. They did the whole last my ghost story caught on camera was dedicated to the Exchange Hotel, which aired, I think it was Saturday night, was the new one, but there's been so much stuff that they did a whole show dedicated just to that on bio. Anyway, you got about 5 minutes left. Ursula, go ahead. Please do your plugs.
Oh, plugs. We are putting tickets on sale this week for the Chicago Ghost Conference. What year is this? 2013. We are having Josh Gates, John Zavis, Jeff Belanger, Dave Schrader, Chris Quartino, which is Kathy Lutz's kid who went through the Amityville horror fiasco in 1979. All sorts of great people at the Chicago Ghost Conference the first weekend in October. We're going to put those tickets on sale this week at the Portage Theater in Chicago, first weekend in October. It's going to be like $40 for the whole weekend. So we're going to have those on sale at ChicagoHauntings.com. So look for those on sale by Friday. We also have really good tours going on sale also this week. Our Angels and Demons tour, which are all the great best of and worst of Chicago ghost stories in Chicago, going on sale this week. The Devil in the White City tour, the Archer Avenue tour, our Chicago Hauntings tour, all at ChicagoHauntings.com. What else do I have going on? Also go to Facebook to our Path to Bachelor's Grove page. Submit all of your information about Bachelor's Grove for our book on Bachelor's Grove that's coming out this summer. Look for my revised edition of Graveyards of Chicago coming out this spring. And what else? I don't know what else to say. That's pretty much it. ChicagoHauntings.com has all my information. That's all I got. Thank you for having me, Matt. I love you so much. You're like the best ever. Thank you.
Love you too, dear. I'll definitely see you this weekend. Dave, if you want to, we got about 3 minutes left. If you want to throw in some plugs,
The only thing I can really say is Sunday night 6 p.m. We have Midnight Paranormal Radio on Slam Internet Radio, and I'd love to have you guys keep in touch with us and call in, and we could do some more of this Sunday. Midnight Paranormal Society, we're a nonprofit organization, and we investigate anywhere in the Midwest. And anyone that wants to check us out, go into Facebook and Midnight Paranormal Society. That's about it. I appreciate you letting me come on.
Yeah, I'm
Matt.
Dennis, I'm free. Whenever you're free. So
Matt, did he just invite the craziness that we bring onto his program?
You know what? We're being tame because this is Brittany's show.
Well, this is
so,
true.
Yeah, you gotta listen on Wednesdays. Anyway, then you may retract.
No, we don't mind. Anyone's welcome.
But hey, thank you, Ursula. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Dave,
love you too, baby.
Definitely appreciate it. Thank you to Brandon Rush, who had to, from Psycho Ghost Trackers, had to take off and go to work. Thank you to John Brightman, which I apologize with all these issues that he wasn't able to call in. So, but Dennis, I know this was last minute, and thank you, brother. I definitely, you know, I love you. You're always there for me. You helped out with making this happen. So,
yeah. It is what it is. Love you too, brother.
David, thank you very much for joining us.
Paranormal
Ursula,
and big family, that's
all
we are.
Dennis, it was so great to be on here with you. Thank you. I hope to see you again soon.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so. If by chance your car happens to, if your car happens to head east, just keep driving, and you'll run into Virginia.
Matt?
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah.
I'm saying we just get on the ghost bus and go out there.
What
there
the hell?
There you go.
Actually,
well,
we just
opened
the branch in New Jersey.
That's
we'll
what
have
I'm
it
thinking.
That, you know what? We can do it as a, well, talk with some people and see if we can get together as far as a fundraising
tour. I'm putting together this whole stream of summer weekend tours for people. So I'm thinking we should put together something in Dennis's neck of the woods.
Yes, yes.
I have the Edgar Allan Poe Museum.
Yes,
oh, that sounds awesome.
I think you just made Ursula quiver.
I just quivered, Matt.
We're off our
And
right
I
now,
have half a dozen battlefields right around me. Civil War
That's
battlefields.
Awesome.
It's magnificent.
Cool.
Plus, you can come and talk to Adam, who is my Civil War soldier that lives in my house.
Dennis, what town are you in?
Richmond. Well, actually,
Richmond,
I'm right
okay.
outside of Richmond in a town
wow.
called Highland Springs.
Wow,
it was
so
originated,
cool.
well, Highland Springs originated as a resort town for the Richmond elite.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's pretty sweet. Check out Seven Pines Battlefield. Check out Richmond National Battlefield. Check out Danes Mills. Check out Cold Harbor Battlefield. I'm right between all of those.
Fantastic.
But, yeah, it's definitely active. Ursula, if you have any sensitivities, trust me, they will be tweaked the whole time that you're here.
Fantastic.
Well, Dennis, speaking
this
of that, what happened to me today?
Matt, we will not talk about that. I will put it this way, Matt, and you may or may not like my answer on this, but I did speak to our mutual dear friend, Chelsea. Chelsea and I reached a good agreement. You need to either shit or get off the pot, Matt. One side of the fence or the other. You either want to know that you have abilities or you don't want to talk about them and don't want to know that you have them. So, from this point forward, my dear friend, and I love you to death, Matt. I truly, truly do. But from this point forward, I won't talk to you about that. Until you decide exactly where you want to be.
First of all, what happened today is Dennis tested me on something, and I picked out what he was wearing and also what his wife Hope was wearing, the color of her shirt.
Oh, so abilities. What's the line, huh?
Yes.
Now, Ursula,
I'm coming up to that place too after all these years.
Well, Ursula, the first thing that I get this morning was GDU. I logged into Facebook on my phone, and first thing I get is GDU. Excuse me? I'm thinking, what the hell have I done now? I haven't done anything. And he's like, well, I woke up this morning and I seem to know everything about this movie that I've never seen before, and I'm telling people things that they want to hear, and you know, I can tell them what they're wearing, and I have no clue, and I have no abilities. Okay. Now, I've known Matt now for, what, Matt, coming up on 9 months?
Somewhere around there. What Hope say? April 12th.
Yeah, well, leave it to a woman to know the day. No, actually, it was Friday the 13th because it was the diamond thing. You were down here at the Richmond Squirrels baseball thing on Friday the 13th that we met. So April 13th. Anyway, our slug, he decides to tell me that I have no abilities, but I woke up this morning and I see what people are wearing. What are you going to do with that? You're going to do like I am. Fine. Tell me what the hell I'm wearing. What color am I wearing? You mean your shirt? Yeah. He comes back tannish. Yeah, nope. That's the pants, which, by the way, it was dead on. I'm wearing Carhartt work pants. Didn't tell him that. I just said, nope, that's the pants. Try again. What color is my shirt? He says, I get like maroon or red. Well, I have a burgundy maroon, I guess, type uniform shirt that I wear. I'm like, okay, stand by. Where would you like the picture emailed? So I took a picture off my phone right then, sent it to him. Tan pants, burgundy / maroon shirt. He's like, well, I know what color uniform shirt you wear, so, you know, that could have just been a lucky guess. That makes perfect sense. But it's a holiday, and I'm my own boss. How'd you know I was in uniform today? I didn't get a damn answer. He's like, well, it could have just been a lucky guess. Okay. So a little bit of babble back and forth, and I'm like, so you want to, oh, well, no, wait. Then we have Welcome to the Crazy Side, which is what I consider mine because I have abilities. I do hear things from the other side, and I do remote viewings and things like that. Ask him sometime about his little scenario with Audrey. And I'm like, does she know about me telling you about Audrey?
No.
Okay. That's why I said ask him about me telling him about Audrey. Okay. Anyway, I said, welcome to the crazy side. Please pick your T-shirt on the way in the door. And he goes, I don't want a damn T-shirt. Well, I'm trying to get a T-shirt because you earned your way into the crazy side. You get a T-shirt. Much like me, where all of a sudden it was poof. Yay. Anyway, I said, you know, just either face it, don't face it, whatever. But I sensed about you that you have abilities. You've had 3 strong psychics now tell you that you have abilities. You can either accept it or not. It's your choice. And he goes, well, I'm 1.5 for 2. So, you know, give me another one, I guess. Well, fine. Tell me what color Hope's shirt is. Well, I was thinking her shirt is lavender. She called it purple. His response was, I don't know, I'm getting purple or lavender, something like that. I'm probably totally wrong, but that's what I get. I sent him a picture and I went, pick your T-shirt on the way in. Welcome to the crazy side. He goes, I don't want a fucking shirt. Hello. You're on the crazy side, dude.
Yeah, no, and I can promise you that Dennis was actually reading from our correspondence back and forth, because every single thing that he said was like spot on what I was saying to him.
And I don't want a shirt. Yeah, well, you got the shirt, asshole. You've earned the shirt.
So
once you realize that information is fed to you from some weird wherever, then it becomes real.
You know what was weird about that whole, like, seriously, what was weird about that whole thing is when you asked me the question, there was no delay. I instantly when you said, "Oh, what color is Hope's shirt?" Purple or lavender is what just instantly popped in my head.
And Hope called it purple. I called it lavender. So
Dave, Ursula, no, I'm not saying that I have abilities. I'm not saying that I...
Yes, he does.
I
have to say it's taken me probably 30 years to really start to be calm enough and to listen enough to...
And to accept.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
To just be calm enough to listen to it.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. Well, Dennis, I know for you, but Dave, Ursula, realistically, I don't want this shit. I don't want to have to be bombarded. I don't, you know, I have enough messed up voices in my head.
Yeah, no kidding, right, Matt?
Then, Matt, here is my suggestion to you. As somebody who has opened the door, I've opened the door. I've accepted that they will talk to me. I've accepted that they give me valued information, and you have been witness to this.
Yes.
David, are you still on with us?
Yeah.
Okay. At some point in time, ask Matt to explain why I can say that I get valued information. That's spot on correct. He'll tell you the Audrey story, I'm sure of that.
We lost Ursula, by the way.
Do what?
So we lost Ursula, by the way.
Oh, okay. But Matt, my advice to you, if you do not want to open that door, then don't ask about it. If you get those feelings, if you get those thoughts, if you get any of that, ignore them. Keep the door closed. Do not ask me about them. David, do you know, pardon me, David, do you know who Chelsea is that we keep talking about?
He's talking about Chelsea DeMolly from Hot on Encounters that was on Bio Channel.
Know what? I've never seen it.
The first season was on. It was only 5 or 6 episodes. Friday nights. If it's something that you're interested in and that aspect of it,
right.
Chelsea is definitely somebody to check out. It's ChelseaDeMolly.com is her website. She's done remote viewings. She's done physical viewings of notorious haunted places. And she nails the history without research, like, right off the bat.
Yeah.
So she's a dear, dear friend of Dennis and I. But it was her and Tracy Ray, who is that I think it's actually official now that they're like fiancés basically with
nice.
David Roundtree.
Well,
so,
Tracy Ray is fiancé with David Roundtree, but Chelsea DeMille is not. But
no.
Matt, what I was getting at
No,
was,
I meant David and I meant David
Matt,
and Tracy,
what I was
not...
getting at what I was getting at was Chelsea pretty much chewed my ass today for you asking me, and you know I don't sugarcoat anything. You ask me a question, I'll tell you if I know the answer or if I feel the answer, I'm going to tell you. Her statement to me was, don't play psychic games with him. Well, that's kind of hurtful in one aspect. But if you want to open that door just a crack, no. You either open the door fully and you accept the fact that you have some abilities, or you shut the door completely and you lock the door. And that's where it stays. But don't ask me about what you see or feel, because it's unfair to me.
Could they actually dangerous going in between, actually?
Yes.
It could be dangerous.
So the option for you, Matt, at this point, honestly, brother, pick a side. You either want to open that door and you want to take in that realm, or you close that door and you lock it and you deadbolt it and you throw the chain on it, you know, throw all three locks on it. But please do not bounce back and forth between, I'm going to open the door, I'm going to close the door, I'm going to open the door, I'm going to close the door. Because it leaves me in a lurch, not knowing exactly how to answer you.
Yeah.
I can read you like a book. I'm 900 miles away from you. But when you ask me, you know I'm going to give you the truth. Well, from here on out, now I have to make you pick a side. You either are going to be on the inside of the door with the door open and you're going to accept, or you're on the outside of that door and you're going to lock the door. But please don't bounce back and forth.
Yeah,
Chelsea.
And David said it right, though. I mean, it's put it this way, it's one of those things to where when you discovered your shit, it was, let me try it, and now I have to make a decision. But, David, you're absolutely right, and, yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I didn't have that choice. It was given to me at 6 years old, and I was talking to Vian since then, so, I mean, I didn't have a choice, but I accepted it. I went through a lot of hell after accepting it. Sorry?
I was going to say, so you have abilities too, but no, you answered that.
Yeah, my ability is that they come to me. They come and talk to me.
Well,
and
you've got one
time
that follows you.
I'm sorry?
You've got one that follows you.
No, I have,
she's not
I have
family.
A few.
Well, this one's not family.
Right.
You've got family that follows you. I see that.
It's a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have photos of her. I figure she's
where'd you
back
pick
from
her up?
I picked her up over by Northeastern College over at Rose Hill Cemetery. And she's been with us for the last 2.5 years.
Is she fire?
I'm sorry?
Is she fire?
That's actually the first time I ever saw physical evidence of her was in front of our bonfire. And that's the photo that I have, is her standing in front of the fire.
Okay. That makes sense.
Me personally, I think she was actually buried alive.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk to her, and I'm trying to see how she died, and I just see darkness. There was a fire that originated that started her ordeal. Little brunette girl?
I believe she's probably, I'm assuming she's in 17, 18 years of age. Yeah, I think it was the long brown hair, mid-1800s. By the clothes she was wearing, early 1900s. I personally think she was taken off the street at going to school and never made it home.
Yeah,
she's in uniform.
Well, she's got hair it's not like mid back, but it's between like her shoulder blades and mid back. Straight hair.
Yeah.
It's actually
sandy blonde, really. It's a darker, it's darker than normal blonde, but it's a dark blonde. My wife actually saw her walk through the apartment a few months back. She actually walked by her in the early morning hours, and she thought it was my daughter because she kind of resembles my daughter. And she's
been with her daughter's age.
No, but she's about the same height, about the same build. We think she's a little older. We think she's like 17, 18. But we could be wrong, too. But that's the assumption I was getting.
I'm thinking your daughter is like 14, 15.
She's 12, yeah.
Okay, I'm seeing really dark eyes. Dark brown eyes.
I definitely see the eye. I've seen the eye, yeah, absolutely.
I don't really want to say almond-shaped, but they're not round eyes. They're a little elongated eyes.
Yeah, I've only just seen the darkness in her eyes. Like, she's just mad. And believe me, she's proven it. She's thrown stuff through her house.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't like when I get upset with the kids. Because she pays me back for it.
Have you gotten a name on her yet? Have you gotten
What's
a
that?
Name on her yet?
Have you gotten the only name that I felt was Laura.
All right. Have you acknowledged her?
What do you mean I've acknowledged her? I've talked to her, yes.
Just sit down and just talk to her.
I mean, I've talked to her physically, EVP talked to her. She's answered me.
No, I mean just sit down. No electronics, just you and her. She's not happy about the electronics.
Yeah.
She just wants to talk to you. She wants to be acknowledged.
Well, we treat her like the family. You know, when something happens and we know it, we tell her straightforward. You got to stop her. This is what we're at a point now where we actually tell her we're leaving. It's just, I mean, we've accepted her here with us, and we actually asked her to go with us because we have to move now. So we're going to be out of this apartment in 2 to 3 weeks, and we've actually asked her to go with us. And she actually was with us at the new apartment when I was looking at it. because I know that was her with us. So.
She likes glass objects. When you said that she threw something through the apartment, it was a glass object.
It was my Stanley cup. But it's glass. It's not clear glass. I mean, it could be clear glass, but it's painted. You know what I mean? And you're saying it's 35 pounds, and she picked it straight up off the TV and threw it across the room and shattered it. And there was 6 people sitting in the living room that day it happened. Plus, I had just had a big argument with my daughter. And the second I shut my bedroom door when I went in to cool off, that thing lifted up and just shot across the front room and hit the wall.
Okay. did you admonish her for that?
No.
Okay. You need to.
I should have, but I didn't.
Okay, you need to. You're not allowed to do this. This is not an acceptable behavior.
All right. Well, we have another spirit here, too. So, you know, it's kind of hard for me because we've got a young boy here, too. He was actually murdered.
She did it. She did it.
I assume she did, but I didn't want to place judgment either because, like I said, there's 2 of them here. And I have disciplined the boy a few times for trash in my garage.
Now, the minute that I said you need to admonish her for doing that, I mean, you can't really discipline them.
No.
But you can give them hell for it.
Well, I could ask them to leave, too, and actually keep them from coming back.
Well.
But I don't want to do that because she's never really staged any other problems since that afternoon.
She doesn't want to leave either.
Yeah, I know she doesn't want to leave. That's why we invited her to go with us when we go to the new home. Which is only a few blocks away from here.
She says, this is my family.
She's accepted in this family as long as she stays the way she is, and, you know, she's welcome here. She knows that.
So, when you see her, is she in a long dress?
Yes.
Okay.
And a heavy jacket. A wool coat.
And it's kind of a white dress.
It's a dark school. It's a school dress, and it's above her knees. So I don't know if back then is that considered a long dress back then. It's just over the knees.
Well, what I see is like mid calf.
Mm-hmm.
I see the dark shoes.
Boots, yes. She's in dark boots. I have a photo of her on Facebook.
And I think you also have an old woman there. You have an older woman there, too.
Really?
She doesn't let herself... You have an old woman there. She doesn't let herself be known.
I wonder if that's the woman walking around we hear upstairs. We hear a lot of walking.
She says you've heard her, but you haven't seen her. She's an older woman.
She's in a
really long dress. I mean, it goes down to her shoes.
Wait a second.
Jeez.
We didn't...
30s, 40s?
Hmm.
I'm seeing...
We did an investigation upstairs one night, me and four of the investigators in my group. One of our group members had mentioned that he saw a woman standing by the window looking out. And she was in a long dress with long hair down to the middle of her back. And she was a young woman. She wasn't an old woman. I wonder if that was
she
her.
She was an old woman? Or she was or wasn't?
She wasn't. Because he said mid-40s. He said mid-30s, early 40s.
Okay. Well, what I'm seeing is like 40s.
Okay. That would make sense.
And her dress goes all the way, almost to the floor, not quite.
Okay.
I'm seeing her. She withdraws from everybody. She doesn't want to be any part of... She tries to stay hidden. So
okay.
If he actually saw her, then he was in the furthest away location from anybody else in the house.
Well, we were all in one room towards the back, and he was the first one to come, and she was standing in the front room by the front window, and he had got a glance of her.
Right. I mean, she almost virtually immediately just disappeared.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Hey, Dennis, the one thing I know about David is he's extremely, extremely thorough when he does his shit.
Well, this woman doesn't want to be acknowledged. She doesn't want to be seen. She doesn't want to be heard.
No, she's not going to be happy because if they're ripping that apartment apart, so if that was her home, she's not going to be too happy.
No, but she's not the kind to, she will stay in the darkest back corner of wherever she's at. If you're there, she's somewhere in the darkest, backest,
all our
area
activity.
Of that area.
All our activity that we could hear and stuff that would draw us in a certain area was the middle bedroom, back closet. That was always the darkest spot. And when we saw shadows up there, they were always in that room, and they would always disappear in that closet. And you're saying that, and it's accurate 100% because that's the darkest spot in our apartment.
Yeah, and if that's the darkest, furthest part away from everybody that she can get, then that's where she's going.
Yep.
So if you saw somebody back there or one of your team members saw somebody back there, that's her place.
Okay.
It's away from everything.
Okay.
I mean, like even when everybody goes to bed, that area...
What do you feel about her religion? Does she like Catholic religion?
That I don't know. She's trying to hide from me. I mean, I got a glimpse of her. I've got some that I can talk to that will actually step forward and talk to me, and I've got some that I can literally chase around your house.
Right.
And I will just pester them.
Well, I know someone's in my room with me right now. I know somebody's down here with me right now. I've seen the shadow a few times. I don't know if it's the girl or if it's the boy, but I know one of them's down here.
You have a little person in the room with you right now. They're small.
Okay. Because my hand is just tingling like you couldn't believe
right
now. And I've seen the shadow go by. I'm sorry?
That's your right hand that's tingling right now.
No, actually, it's my left hand.
Okay.
But that's cool. No, I mean, right. That's how I know there's... Huh?
Let me focus. Just, I'm trying to follow this old woman around. She's trying to hide from me. Which I really shouldn't say old woman because I'm 43 myself. She's...
Yeah.
I get 46 out of her.
And I just turned 46. Well, November, yeah.
Her hair was dark brown as a kid, but she's got dark brown and silver now. Dark brown and gray now, but I see her in the 20s, 30s. I don't know why I correlate that with her. Either she died in the 20s and 30s and she was in her 40s, or I don't know, it doesn't make sense. She just keeps hiding from me everywhere that she goes. I want to give you a tour of your house. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Matt?
Yeah?
Matt, can I do it?
Yeah. I don't know. Can you? I mean, yeah, you've done it numerous times. And
David, walk in your front door to the right. There's a room over there that's barely used. It's kind of a large room, but that's a small room. There's a divider in it that takes it back to the next room. There's a little short hallway straight ahead of you. There's a staircase there. To the left, I see a small doorway, but it's like shaded in, so maybe it was changed. The room immediately in the front door. What the hell is that? To the left. So a room door. I see a room immediately to the left. I see a large opening. Like, all right, there we go. There we go. Let me walk in the front door. Immediately to the left, there's a large room to the left. There's a stairway almost straight ahead of me. There's a little short hallway that jogs around past that. I see a small room on that right side. There's another room behind that. And I get water from that room. So that's probably kitchen, or there's a bathroom, and then there's a kitchen. Back left corner, there's a big room. That would be the family room. How am I doing so far?
Well, the building has changed, but you're describing everything I saw when I first moved in this place. The building's 100 years old, and it's been worked on. And I believe the way the building was structured before, this is an apartment building, a two-flat, but I think 100 years ago when they first built it, it was a single-family home. And I think there was a lot of construction that was done to it 50 years after it was built. It was turned into apartments. But I think the way you see it now is what you're seeing through her eyes, which she used to see. And she might have been someone that lived here then. And I know that the stairwells were changed, and I know the doorways were changed. And I saw what you saw, where you walked in and there were stairs going up. And there was the bedroom to the right, and there was the closet on my left, or the closet on my right, the bedroom to my left. And you're correct that when you go through there, The other side of that is the bathroom. And on the other side of that, you're correct, is another large room, which has been used as a bedroom. And next to that is a kitchen. So you've got that platform all correct. But there is no stairs there no more. The stairs are gone. But I think there were, but I think it was built a different way when they first built this place.
Okay.
But they've converted it into a two-flat brick. But I think originally, I think it was one brick building that was downstairs was the front room, dining room, upstairs were bedrooms, and I think the big family room. So, yeah, I saw the exact same thing you're saying when I first moved in this place. And I told my wife I'd love to buy the building and actually redo it the way it was. But the bank wouldn't sell it to us.
The older woman would love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the
but
bank
like
threw
the
us bank. Out. So.
Wouldn't
yeah, they
love
threw
it.
Us out. Huh?
Some
bank out of New York bought it and owned it. And they're I think what they're doing now is going to convert both these into condos.
What year did you say the house was built?
If I'm not mistaken, when I looked it up, I believe it was built in 1912, or what the hell was the date on this place? 1912, I believe this house was built, so it was almost 100 years. Actually, 100 years this year.
But... the quarry stone that makes up the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That was pulled very close by. Her husband, I think, actually pulled some of that quarry stone.
Okay.
By the way, please tell me there is a quarry stone wall, and I didn't.
No, right now there is not, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not buried under the porch when they've ripped a lot of stuff out, and there's a lot of backfill under the porch, so I would not be surprised if there is an old quarry wall in that backfill. Because that's where the most energy comes from, is down towards the basement in the back.
Okay.
What about my yard? Do you see anything with my yard? Do you feel anyone in my yard?
The walls in the basement, that's... Well, one thing that I'm getting from that is it's hiding something. The quarry stone is behind. They've smoothed it out and, like, concreted that in and smoothed it out. That's where you'll find your quarry stone.
In the back, yeah.
It's, I mean, there, it's,
okay.
If you were to break through the concrete facade, you'll find the quarry stone.
Yeah, that's just what I'm talking about, where they fixed it all up in the back, yep.
Yeah, her husband actually quarried some of that stone.
Hmm.
That's what I get. In the yard from the house, the back right corner, you're going to always feel energy.
Yep.
In the back right corner of the yard, you'll always feel energy. For some reason, he stalks that corner.
Hmm.
I'm not sure why.
Well, maybe it wasn't the boy I was talking to. Maybe it's been him the whole time.
In that back right corner?
In the corner, back right corner of the garage, yeah. There's a garage there now.
Okay, and that's at the burn, like at the back end of the property?
Uh-huh.
All right. You ready to be freaked out?
Go ahead.
Through GPR there.
Buried under the garage, right?
You may not like what shows up on GPR, but yeah.
Yeah,
I get his.
I've always felt someone was buried under there.
Strong. I get his that? Energy very strong.
Yeah,
I get a very strong energy in that back corner.
Mm-hmm. We're getting the same energy in that garage, trust me. Because I've said that to my wife and everybody that's been in there, that there was someone buried under this garage. And I have a feeling
that,
that's one of the reasons the floor is collapsing.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Matt. Did I do it again?
Pretty well. I don't know, David. How accurate is he?
He's right pretty much on. I mean, I'd give him a 86%.
Yeah, so you see why you see why in times he pisses me off. It's not always 100%, but you know, most of the time I sit back and I look and I'm like, you motherfucker.
But we're not all perfect either. I mean, I'm never perfect on what I feel. So I have people that come to me all the time and say, hey, could you feel this? And it'll take 20 minutes before anything will pop in my head. But then once I start,
the only thing you
can't turn it off.
The only thing that you can go on is what they give you.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. There's been times where I've had a woman walk up to me while we were doing our paranormal nights at the patio or at the Portage, and right off the bat, I'll look at her and say, I'm sorry. And she'll look at me and she'll say, well, why are you sorry? I said, well, you just lost your father. I'm very sorry. She goes, how the hell did you know that? We just buried him 2 days ago. I said, I know, I'm sorry. He's with you right now. And, you know, she kind of freaked out. So it's kind of hard for me to even do that anymore when people come by because you don't want them to drop a heart attack or something, you know. It's like, that's why I say it could be very dangerous. You have to know your limits.
For Dennis being, you know, 900 miles away and to be 86%.
Yeah, but you have to realize the stars fill the whole world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you understand what I mean. The
stars are
our whole looking glass. The star, the atmosphere is our eyes. You know,
well,
that's how our minds work.
I'll give you a perfect example. Tracy Ray is one of our primary CPR members.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very good psychic.
Then David, I think you met her at she does a lot of events with Willie at the Portage and out in DeKalb.
Oh, she was probably out at the convention with Willie last year.
Yeah, she was there. She's short hair, salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's
a total sweetheart.
Well, actually, David, what's your group name?
Midnight Paranormal Society.
Did you do the investigation at her house?
She
had three entities in her basement.
She might have been the one that asked us to do it, and it got canceled. She and Joliet?
No, she's in DeKalb.
DeKalb. Okay, yeah, no, that was not us.
Okay.
Unless Frank went out. Frank and a couple of the other members went out, but it wasn't me, no.
Well, I don't remember who she actually had come out. Anyway, the three entities in her basement. I ended up, when I first started developing my abilities and first started realizing it and decided, okay, well, fuck it. I'm just going to throw the door open and go, and whatever happens, happens.
Right.
She had opened her door open long ago.
Right.
And then she's like, all right, Dennis, I'm going to test you. You want that door open? You want to talk to them? Talk to the three guys in my basement. What do you get?
Father,
I gave her all three names. Do what?
Father and two sons.
That I'm not sure of. But
yeah,
that was
that's exactly
what
I'm saying.
That's what I got. Who killed them?
Themselves, actually. The father killed the two boys and then he poisoned himself.
Thou dost have some abilities. Yeah, he fucked up with the boiler. And he's now bound to his two sons. Anyway, now that you've thrown me off track.
Hold on, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. It's just all I, that's what I was seeing.
No, you nailed it.
But I didn't see the boiler. I see the stairs. I see the where the boys are under the stairs. But I don't see the boiler. So I can see the lights coming through the stairs.
Yeah, he screwed. Well, the stairs are a different topic.
But that's where the two boys are.
Well, they hover on the steps.
Okay, that's what I'm seeing is the stairs.
Yeah, they hover on the steps.
Okay.
Dad screwed up doing something with the boiler and blew up the boiler and killed the two sons. The first time that I spoke with the dad, are you getting a name on him? Ask him.
Who, Wally?
Right? Huh?
Wally?
No.
That's what I'm getting.
Telling him to stop playing games. And tell you straight up. Tell him to knock off the bullshit. See, that's the first thing you did to me, too. You started trying to play bullshit with me. And finally, Tracy said, just tell him to stop bullshitting you and tell him to tell you the fucking truth. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got the name.
Well,
then
Wally, my dad's name's Wally, Walter, and I'm getting Wally.
you have Walter.
Well, no, my dad was Walter, and that's why when Wally came up, it kind of gave me the shiver, but I knew it's not my dad.
Yeah.
My dad was a medium, too. He's gone. He passed his gift on to me and left after he passed. He's happy where he went.
Your dad passed in, what, 91, 92?
No, 81.
Okay. 81, 91. Okay.
Yeah, 89. Right.
Your dad was a very, he was a large man.
Tall man, yes.
6'3", 6'4"?
He was about 6'2 and a half, yeah, 6'3".
Okay. he was pushing 240, 250. He was a large man.
No, he was a tall man, but a very thin man. I would say 2. Probably 200 pounds.
200?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was a very thin man.
Yeah,
you're in the right range, yeah.
Let's see. I'm 6'1". I'm 165. I'm a thin man. He was 6'2 and 200. To me, that's a fucking large man.
Well, I'm only 5'8" and I'm 210 right now, so.
And your doctor's not happy about that, by the way.
No, actually, he's very happy because I've lost 60 pounds.
Okay.
Within the past year, that is. Sorry, I'm done. Yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, I had quadruple bypass 2 years ago, so I've fed off everything, and I've lost 60 pounds.
Well, I'm glad you're still with us, then.
Yeah, thank Pastor's girl for that.
But hey, David, you got to admit, the fact that you and I can talk to somebody that nobody else can see. Is this not a fucking amazing talent?
Oh, I know. Tell my doctor that. I had to see a shrink for 6 years after I saw my grandmother when I was six. My mom put up with it for 2 years, and then after that I had to go see a doctor for the last 6 years. So from age 8 through, 14, I had to see Dr. Fisher at Ravenswood Hospital, and it pissed me off because, you know, just because I was able to talk to people don't mean that I'm crazy.
Thankfully, when I was a kid, my parents were of the belief that, okay, well, he has imaginary friends.
Yeah.
They left it at that.
Yeah. Yeah, but my dad knew better. My dad knew that I had it, and he knew that he didn't want me to have it. That's why he kept trying to do everything he could to keep me from having it until he finally accepted it before he died.
Well, look, as soon as you said that, the first thing I got was, I'm glad he helped people with it. So whatever the hell you did, at some point in time you've helped people with it, and he wants to share that with you. Your dad had very dark hair, like black hair.
Who did?
Your dad.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, he was a bright redhead.
What the fuck am I saying? Who am I saying? But
he could be
saying
my grandfather.
As soon as you said, my father accepted it right before he passed away, I got... And I'm glad he's helped people with it. And I saw a man with, black hair.
Nah, you probably talking about fucking Lynn.
Huh?
You're probably seeing Lynn.
Who's Lynn?
My stepfather. And I guess that's why could be why you're seeing the fire, too, because he burned himself to death in his car.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Handcuffed himself to a steering wheel and dumped a gallon of gas on top and lit it.
He did not like you at all.
No, he didn't. No.
That would explain the FU I just got.
Yeah, no. We had complete battle royals, physical battle royals.
And I would,
Who, Lynn?
Yeah,
you're in the reversal now. See, now you're seeing my stepfather, or you're seeing my father.
No, Lynn,
Walter.
I want to know about
Bill
Lynn
was
because
the big
I want to get rid of him.
Or Lynn was the
I
big one.
200-300 pounds.
He was a big boy. He was about 6'10", 300 pounds, 250 pounds.
Dark blue car?
Yes. Convertible?
I don't know. I just see the hood.
Yeah, blue car. Absolutely.
I'm just
trying
to
get rid of him
because he's fucking nasty, and I just want to get rid of him.
Yeah, he was a nasty prick, trust me. I don't let him in.
Well,
that's one thing. I don't let him in.
Well,
just trying
to front him out now. I'm just throwing him out now.
He's tried many times to get in, but I won't let him in. I won't give him the pleasure.
I see the dark blue car, and I hear a lot of screaming. I hear a buttload of vulgarities. That hit a note with you.
He what?
That hit a note with you.
Oh, yeah, he always...
That hit a nerve.
He always liked to beat my mom's... He liked to beat the crap out of my mom in that car.
Well, he found another way that he can get to you. So,
did
now
he,
I'm...
What?
You what?
What were you saying?
Go ahead. He
no,
found
I was...
another way that he can get to you because I brought him to your mind.
Oh, yeah, but I can keep him out.
Yeah, but